Hello and welcome to Fueling Around with me, Jason Plato, and my co-pilot and navigator, Dave Vitti.
Hello.
Fueling Around is powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help save you money on your car, your bike, or your home insurance. So Dave, how are you?
I'm very good, actually. Thank you, Jason Plato. This is a monumental day for me because it's the first time in about 10 weeks that I've worn long trousers.
How funny, because I'm feeling a bit nippy. I've had shorts on for 100 days or something crazy like that. Do you know what? It's been a long, long time, this, hasn't it? Because what are we talking about now? Shorts. We should be talking about cars.
We should be talking about cars, and we should be talking about our guest today, because our guest is somebody who has got a bit of a car habit, a bit of a garage, I think you would say.
Indeed. Our guest today is a multi-talented, multi-platinum, album-selling British singer-songwriter who happens to have a bit of a love for cars. Welcome to the show, Amy McDonald. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good.
We're very good. I would imagine, like most of the entertainment industry, Amy, that 2020 hasn't quite gone to plan so far.
No, it hasn't. I was in the middle of recording my fifth album when we got told to lock down. So it's probably going to be the most memorable album that any of us have ever made because of that. It might not be the best one, but it will definitely be the most memorable.
And do you find that this stop-start business, that everything came to a halt, has that made you look at what you had in your mind and what you want to record and made you kind of change stuff around?
It's not made me change my mind or anything like that. Because we were able to get some of the songs that we had recorded, we were able to get them mixed and mastered in the middle of lockdown. So throughout it, I would get sent new versions of my songs and it would just make me even more excited and more anxious to get back to it again.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
So let's talk cars then, Amy McDonald. Where did it all start for you? Where did this passion, this well-documented passion for exotic cars come from? How old were you?
Well, I was in a very lucky position that I turned 18 and I signed a record contract with Universal Music. So I was in the really strange position of having a little bit of cash to spend on a car when I passed my driving test. Everybody I knew, all my friends, we all came from working class families in Glasgow, so nobody was in that position, and here I was. So I passed my driving test and I bought myself a Mini Cooper, a little red one, and I just absolutely loved it. And one of the first journeys I had to do, I actually drove myself and all my mates up to the Tea in the Park festival.
Yeah.
And it was the most terrifying experience of my life because I passed literally 2 days previous to that. And they wanted to have all the music cranked up and they were all in the party mood. And I'm like, be quiet. We've got to drive on the motorway. This is new to me. But just having that little car, I just absolutely loved bombing about in it. And that was my first taste of driving. And it just kind of got me hooked. And then I decided, oh, I wanted other cars. And the next thing I wanted was an Audi TT. And I got that. And then I had an album out and it done really well. And I was able to just continue this ridiculous path. And my mum, she's retired now, but she was an accountant for the council. And she used to just pull her hair out at me saying, you're just wasting all this money. Why are you buying cars? Like, she just hated it.
Did you not feed her the line about the fact that if you buy the right cars, they could be seen as an investment?
Well, this is the thing. I was never buying the right kind of car. I was just buying nice new shiny things that depreciated as soon as you drove them away. So I couldn't really use it.
Hey, do you know what? I don't think there's many people that can, hand on heart, honestly say they buy cars and they don't hemorrhage cash.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's depressing if I think back to the money that you've just blown on cars. But I have to say, man, they don't half bring some joy and a bit of fun and some escapism, don't they?
Exactly. The enjoyment that you get, I always say you can't take it with you when you die, so you might enjoy it whilst you're still here.
Exactly. Everybody has their passions and their vices, don't they? Just so happens that cars are yours, then why not spend your money on there? So you went from the Mini Cooper to the Audi TT. Where does the car history go after that?
I then went straight for an Audi R8, which was the most...
Back in the net!
Yeah. I was only about 20 at the time as well, so it was the most ridiculous situation ever. I was at the beginning of my career at that point, so we were doing what musicians call the toilet tours.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the back of a splitter van, just driving around at all hours of the night. And I remember being somewhere on the road in England and an Audi R8 passed by and I was just like, oh, I've got to have one. And it was just like my kind of dream for a while. And when I first got it, I drove home and I just sat and I could not believe. I was just like, wow, this is just not happening to me. This is crazy. And my dad was just like, wow, this is amazing. Suddenly he was able to drive these crazy cars that he'd always dreamed of. And I just absolutely loved that we were all just so happy through a shiny thing that lost loads of money.
What colour was the R8?
First R8 was black, just classic, yeah.
Have you ever had an R8, Jason?
No, I haven't, but I'm lucky enough with all the TV stuff I do for Fifth Gear and prior to that. Yes, I've had them, but I've never owned them, but I've certainly had them outside for, you know, a week on end here, a bit of time there. And in fact, not that long ago, last year, we drove what I think will be the last V10 normally aspirated Audi in the world, because I don't think they're going to make them anymore, and it was just epic. I mean, it's a brilliant bit of kit. Easy to drive, goes like stink, looks lush. Even the Elephant Man looks handsome in that thing, I think.
So was that a game changer then for you, Amy? Did you feel like you'd entered a new chapter car-wise? You'd got to a point where you couldn't really go back to something ordinary.
Yeah, you do get used to having that level of power, I think, is the thing for me. Just knowing that you never need to get stuck behind a tractor or anything like that. You can get away. I was very lucky that at that point my career was doing so well. So I was in that position that I could kind of get what I wanted, and I just kind of went on from there and lost loads of money in the process. This is like a theme.
And did you each time you moved up, did you sell the previous one to go up, or have you still got a few kicking around?
Most of the time I always sold something. There was a point where I had two Ferraris in the garage and I thought, nobody needs to have two Ferraris. I'm only one person. So at that point, I did sell one of them. And I'm very modest now. I've just got two cars right now. I'm getting a bit better as I get older.
So at the height of your car habit then, what was the garage looking like? What did the fleet amount to?
At the height of it, I had a Range Rover Vogue, which was just my everyday. And then I had a Bentley Continental. Mm-hmm. I had a Ferrari 458 and I had a Ferrari 488 all at the same time. Yeah. And I don't live on a big like farm or anywhere with a big garage that I can keep all these, so it kind of got a little bit out of control.
You need one of those garage setups like JK from Jamiroquai's got, where he's literally just got all these cars in this horseshoe shape around his house.
I need to sell as many albums as he has first.
Yeah. His place is extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, there must be 60, 70 cars there, I would think.
Yeah, there's a lot of gear, but it's also, in addition to the cars, he's got all these other toys. He's got little monkey bikes and he's got Segways and he's got off-road things. He's got a helicopter that he flies around his estate. It's amazing. It's just like going to some sort of automotive sweet shop.
Yeah, he's a proper petrolhead, isn't he? He's a complete fruitcake.
Yeah.
It sounds like you might be on that level, Amy, I think, with having two Ferraris on the drive at the same time.
I don't know. I think I've got a long way to go. I've calmed down. I've realised as I've got older that getting a nice kitchen is a bit more sensible.
Do you know what? You're right, though. It is weird, the stuff you lust after when you get a bit older, because I never lusted after a fridge, but I've got the best fridge now. And I was like, oh, I can't wait for this thing to arrive. It's just the thing which keeps stuff cold. But you do change a bit, eh?
Oh, you totally do. I'm the same. That was my thing. I was like, I need to get a new kitchen. So that's been what's kind of pushing my excitement over the past few years. I've actually not bought a new car in a while. It's probably been the longest time, actually. But I think lockdown has definitely given me that vibe of, oh, maybe I'll get something shiny and new. But I do have a friend. He actually works for me in a Maserati dealership. And he told me that they sold more cars in the last month closed that they would have expected to sell on a normal month. And that just blew my mind. Crazy.
See, I think Maseratis are interesting. They're wolf in sheep's clothing, aren't they, I would say, because they look quite sensible. But then the noise on them, I've never actually been in one, but I find them an intriguing motor car because they don't have all the visual flashness, if you like, of a Ferrari or a Lambo.
They are about to launch a kind of Maserati Lambo Ferrari type thing. I've seen mock-ups of it, but I've not seen the finished article.
Sounds like you've got a bit of intel there.
I just follow all the car website updates and stuff like that, so I did see that it's not far away that they're going for a Maserati style supercar.
You see, I can tell from this conversation, and I'm a bit older than you, Amy, so I suppose I'm kind of aligning myself with your mum's viewpoint in the fact that she didn't think it was a great idea for you to be spending your hard-earned cash on these exotic cars. But I can tell from talking to you that even though now you're spending more money on stuff like your kitchen, that your passion and actually your addictive personality is still in there, because you're still looking on these things, and while you might not have them on your drive, you're still interested.
That's totally true. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've like googled things in this lockdown going, oh, that's nice, that looks lovely, doesn't it?
Hey, I've looked on a bit of a list of the fleet there, Amy, and I'm not seeing any Porsches. Do they not rock your boat?
I've actually never driven a Porsche. I've never had a shot of one. Loads of people have said to me, have you never thought about that? And I just haven't, actually. I don't know. I think with supercars, I think I want it all. I want it to stand out and look mean and moody. And Porsche is obviously more sporty looking, and it doesn't have the kind of the authority that you get from a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or anything like that.
Yeah, they're a bit more subtle, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, that's definitely, like, you can easily rock up to the supermarket in a Porsche and nobody looks at you like you're from another planet. But if you go to the supermarket in a Ferrari, you look a bit wild.
I mean, I've only had one Ferrari in my life, and I swore blind that I kind of made a promise with myself that before I got to the age of 30, I had to have a Ferrari. And I just did it. But I tell you what, after the initial, you know, trying to find tunnels on every journey just so I could, you know, I remember I had to go down to Brands Hatch once, and I went around the north of the M25 and got over the bridge, and I thought I need to go through the tunnel, so I turned around and I did it. Just backwards and forwards, just anyway. But I tell you what, after that initial period of like the honeymoon period, I then found I had to be really in the mood to drive it, because everyone's in your face. Do you find you've got to be in the mood and a bit confident and in the right frame of mind?
Yeah, you definitely don't want to just take a car like that out all the time. Like, it's, especially with the weather in Scotland, it's not really an enjoyable time sometimes if you're kind of sliding about all over the place. But as soon as you go out in a Ferrari, you've got everybody looking at it. Like, it's just the kind of car it is. Everybody knows what it is. So they all just kind of stare at it. But I think most people in Glasgow now know when they see a woman driving a Ferrari, it's going to be me, because it's been so well documented. So I think they're fed up of it now anyway, so nobody bothers.
Amy, I was going to say, in terms of your fantasy garage, now that you're getting a bit older and more sensible, if you could have two cars in there and two cars only, out of anything in the world, there's no price limit, what are those two cars?
I'd like to have probably a Bugatti Chiron.
Ooh.
Yeah, I went on Top Gear and told them at that point my dream was the Veyron, and that kind of got over to the Bugatti factory, and they got in touch with me and said, would you like to come over and drive the Veyron?
Wow.
I was like, of course I would. So I went over to France. Bear in mind, I'd never driven on the other side of the road before. And they brought the boss of Bugatti at the time. I can't remember the guy's name back then. It's all changed again now. But he was the head of Bugatti, and he came that day to come out in the car with me. It was the Veyron Super Sports. So as we got into it, he was happily telling me that this car costs 2.2 million euros.
Yeah.
And we're about to just go and drive it on public roads. And the worst thing ever is where their factory is, you come out and it's just roundabout after roundabout after roundabout. And I was trying to tell him that I had never driven on the other side of the road before, but he couldn't understand my accent. So he just like smiled at me. And I was like, I've never driven anything like this. I've never driven on the other side. And he was just like, oh, that's fine. Great. And then he just kept telling me, don't worry. It's just like a golf. And I was like, oh, it's hardly like a golf.
And they feel big, mind, don't they?
It felt huge. And I just felt absolutely petrified driving on the roads in France with this guy sitting next to me. 2.2 million euros. It was just mad. So now the Veyron's obviously not getting made anymore. So I've had to move on to the Chiron. That would be a dream. And then probably the LaFerrari, I just think absolutely stunning. And from the minute I've seen it, I was just like, oh, wow, what a dream that would be.
Have you had a go on one of those? Have you driven one?
I haven't, no.
Stunning bit of kit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Palomine's got one. And I've driven it a few times. And it's just, it's insanely quick. And I drive lots of quick cars. And literally, you think, what on earth just happened? Because it just doesn't stop accelerating. And there's this, it's kind of, I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's so quick. Frighteningly quick.
Yeah, I can imagine it.
But I think the Bugatti, the Chiron is another step again, isn't it? I mean, that's...
Yes.
That's like warp speed, isn't it?
Yeah, they're just different level. I remember reading that they don't actually make any money on them because it costs them more to make the car than they sell it for. Like, when I was in the factory, like, they gave me home, like, a bag of, like, nuts and bolts that they used to put them together just because it was so crazy how lightweight they were. And they're like, well, this is what holds everything together. And it was just a bit of a random experience, but a really cool one.
Yeah, there's a really cool guy called Horatio Pagani who makes that Italian supercar. And when they started making what they call the Huayra, which is their recent one, all the individual nuts and bolts, they're all purpose-built for that car, all out of high-grade, like, aerospace titanium. And just the nut and bolt kit costs $100,000. just all the individual nuts and bolts. And I mean, but literally, like you say, you pick them up and it's like there's nothing here. Everything's just beautiful.
Yeah, it was mental.
So would you say you're a quick driver? Are you a bit sporty?
I think, again, getting a bit older, I've become a bit more responsible. I'm a bit better than I was. I used to just, as soon as you said the thing about the tunnels, that was me down to a T. The Clyde Tunnel in Glasgow is the best for it. Like, the noise that you can get going through there, it's something else. Used to just love doing that. But I've calmed down a bit now, definitely calmed down a little bit. Like, I still have a bit of a tendency to have a little road rage now and again, but I try not to drive just as much as a maniac as I maybe used to.
Have you done any track days?
I've done a couple. Like, I was desperate to do the Top Gear back in the day, and then when I got to do that, I was just absolutely buzzing to do it. And Knock Hill is the track nearest to me up here, and I knew a few people that were there, and they were like, oh, do you want to come and we'll take you around the track a few times just so that you get used to it before you have to go in the Top Gear track? And I was like, definitely. So I kind of got a little bit of coaching before I done it, and I just loved it. And then because I go on there and I talk about things like that, you always get invited to these amazing things just by talking about them. Yeah. You get asked to so much more. So I've done a few things with Audi in the past as well. I've done some driving on ice with Audi over Fantastic. In Austria on a frozen lake as well. So I've done a few things. I've not done anything for a while, but I've always absolutely loved it when I do it and I get the buzz. And the girl that was teaching me at Knock Hill had said, oh, you get into this because if you were to enter one of our races tomorrow, you wouldn't come last. And I was like, oh, that's a great incentive. I wouldn't be last.
You see, what you need to do, Amy, is you need to start naming either tracks or albums after things that you want. Okay, so maybe the next album is called Chiron or something like that, you know. Ooh. Or there's a track in there called My Bugatti, just anything like that, and just see whether it actually has an advantageous effect in terms of what you get offered for free.
That sounds like a plan. Like, from talking about Ferrari so much, I managed to get my face in the museum, and I went over to open. They had an exhibition which was women in Ferraris, and basically, there was this massive big mural of me next to a 458, but I never got anything else out of it, so I was quite disappointed.
You're kind of waiting for this curtain to come back and for this amazing gift, and you're like, is that it? Okay.
Exactly.
When you went down to Freud, did you have a good look round?
We went to the museum in Moderna, and then we went to Maranello, and we went round the factory. Yeah. Basically private tour, and then we went into the where they were fixing the Formula One car, and my manager just straight away gets his phone out and takes all these pictures, and then the lady had a heart attack.
Can't do that.
Like, watching over him going delete. Yeah, but it was a great experience to see everything. Just absolutely, it's just crazy.
And did you go over to the circuit of Fiorano where Enzo Ferrari's little flat used to be? Did you have a look in there?
We didn't. We weren't even meant to be there for the tour. This was just something that was added on at the end at the last minute because we were there. So we were there for the museum and the opening, but then they were like, oh, do you want to see the factory and that? So,
Yeah, his little apartment, his little farmhouse in the middle of where the circuit is, it's exactly like it was the day he died. His diary's open. Everything is just, it pens, his purple pen's on the desk. Oh, it's unbelievable. And it's got that kind of feel, you know, that kind of 70s, 80s, even though he died much later than that. It's kind of got that feel. Brilliant place.
I absolutely loved that they still had all of his hand drawings and everything. Like, they still had it there all in storage. And I just thought that was wonderful that they still have all of that history just there. It's amazing in a world that's just so digital now. It's so nice that that's kind of there still for everyone to see.
Can you see yourself in anything electric going forward in the future? Or is that something which just repels you?
No, it doesn't repel me. I think it still feels like the technology is still not great. And especially in Britain, we don't have the infrastructure for it yet. And it's all very well and good encouraging people to get electric cars, but if you're stuck on the motorway with no way of charging it, it's a bit of an inconvenience. So I think that it's definitely something I would think about, and I'd love to try. But right now, I mean, I couldn't even tell you where my nearest charge point would be, so it could be quite difficult. I was doing a gig in Bergen in Norway, and all the taxis are Teslas.
Are they?
Yeah, like all the taxis are Teslas. And I just thought, gosh, they have got too much money in Norway.
Yeah, because they're minty, aren't they? They're not cheap.
Yeah, no, yeah, they're very, like, they had the gull wing doors. And I remember looking at them, and they're easy over £100,000. And it's a taxi. Like, they couldn't have them in Glasgow because people would just be thrown up in them in the back on a Saturday night.
Yeah, imagine the cleaning bill on one of those.
Mm-hmm. 500 quid.
Yeah, you've got somebody's kebab and chips all the way down the back, and you think this sophisticated bit of kit, but it doesn't make any difference on a Saturday night in Socky Hall Street, does it? Right, Amy, so listen, obviously music and cars are your big passion, so this is the big question for the end of the show. What is your fantasy drive? Where are you? Where are you going? What are you listening to? And what are you driving?
I think that I would be back in beautiful California in Yosemite National Park, which is just my favourite place. And it's just filled with winding roads that go through the valley and then up through the mountains. And it's just delightful. I think that I would be driving... It would need to be something comfortable. Mm-hmm. So I think I'd probably be driving probably a nice Rolls Royce.
Right, okay.
A drop head?
Yes, that would fit in really well in Yosemite National Park, as you can imagine. But I had a shot of a Phantom for a couple of weeks once, and I just absolutely loved driving it. It was mad, but amazing. So I think I would be driving that. And I would be listening to a bit of Bruce Springsteen.
Ooh,
yeah.
Nice, proper Americana.
With the Rolls Royce added in for the madness.
You see, now that should be an album cover, shouldn't it? You in Yosemite in this mad Rolls Royce.
Yeah,
listening to Bruce Springsteen.
The juxtaposition of it is just amazing in itself.
I love it. Jason, we're about out of time.
Oh, this happens all the time, doesn't it? We just get into stuff and then we've got to wrap it up.
I know.
Amy, look, it's been great. I've enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. No, it's been really, really good. And listen, we look forward to hearing the album when it's all done and when this madness returns to some kind of normality.
Yes, I cannot wait for that day.
So that's about it for this episode of Fueling Around, powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help you save money on your car, your bike, or even your home insurance. Thanks, Dave, as always, and a big thanks to our special guest this week, the lovely Amy McDonald. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us on Twitter, at Jason Plato, or at David Vitti. And if you like what you've heard, give us one of them five-star ratings. Press the subscribe button and share the podcast on all your socials. So that's it. We'll see you next time. Ta-ra.